Analytics through the customer journey. Customer journey analytics is the science of analyzing customer behavior across various touch points over the period of time to measure the impact of customer behavior on business outcomes. This approach continues to gain momentum as enterprises recognize the value of customer journeys as a means to monitor customer experience, performance, and identify opportunities for improvement. When you analyze the data, you'll be able to decipher where all do you need to improve the customer experience, what all can you do to improve the same. Measuring customer experience is still a struggle for many enterprises. For the past 3 years, organizations have ranked quantifying the ROI of customer experience initiatives and investments as their greatest challenge. Data and organizational silos are the primary barriers, particularly for banking, telecom, and health insurance companies who are inundated with overwhelming amounts of data from millions of consumers. It is organizing of data and organizing that properly which makes it difficult for these sectors to get some meaning out of that. Today, more and more organizations rely on journey analytics to overcome these hurdles. In a recent CX survey, top performing organizations ranked customer journey analytics as their second highest customer experience related investment priority. Second highest. Top performing organizations ranked customer journey analytics as their second highest customer experience related investment priority. They need to know their entire customer journey and analyzing that journey, how and where all the customer was happy, not happy, and why was he happy, why was he not happy, so on and so forth. Why do companies use customer journey analytics? Companies use customer journey analytics because it is one of the single most effective ways to increase CLTV, customer lifetime value, improve loyalty of the customer, and drive revenue growth. The more you understand about the customer's journey, the more you analyze it, you can improve these three amazing things, which are customer's lifetime value, their loyalty, and the amount of revenue they derive to the company. Customer journey analytics gives teams a window into customer behavior, which provides valuable insights that they can use to inform their decisions. With customer journey analytics, teams gain visibility into every important customer interaction. They no longer need to rely solely on customer feedback, which, while important, rarely tells the whole story. For example, while some users might provide customer feedback via a customer satisfaction survey, most will not. And without customer journey analytics, the company may never know why those customers churned in the first place. If you don't analyze the customer's satisfaction survey or customer's journey, you'll never know why did a customer leave in the first place. Customer journey analytics encompasses advanced analytics methods such as predictive analytics, real-time analytics, customer segmentation, and more, in order to provide companies with actionable insights that can directly impact their bottom line once again. Customer journey stages. The first concept to understand when getting started with customer journey analysis is the three main stages of the customer journey: acquisition, activation, adoption. In the acquisition stage, during the acquisition phase, a buyer is exploring a solution for their problem. Like, you might be wanting to buy a phone, you might be exploring different brands and seeing what is good for you, what fits your budget, what color do you like, what has good features, and so on and so forth. They discover the company through an acquisition channel such as advertising, organic search, TV, billboard, so on and so forth. Once the prospect reaches the website, they'll continue to discover the process by exploring content, searching the website, or watching videos. They may even initiate a chat, conversation, or contact the company to further investigate its offerings. A B2B company may engage the prospect at this stage by email or phone. First, a sales development rep will reach out to ensure the prospect has the qualification to purchase using a process called BANT, Budget, Authority, Need, and Timing. Once qualified, an account executive will further develop this prospect into a sale. Companies manage and log this process using a customer relationship management platform such as Salesforce or Pipedrive. Customer journey acquisition stage example. Let's take up an example. For example, Sally notices that her laptop is running very slow. She decides to search, "Why is my laptop running slow?" on Google to research this problem in much more depth. She learns that viruses and malware could be the cause to her issue. Because she has personal information saved on her laptop, she decides this is a problem she wants to fix ASAP. how to tailor your marketing strategies for the awareness stage. Because potential customers in the awareness stage are researching their problems or pain points, it's essential to create informative content that provides them with the information they need at the time they need it. Think about what problem your products or services solve and the consequences if customers decide not to act. Then create informative content, such as blog posts, videos, articles to address these issues. Like in the example above, it's such a problem that she has a laptop which is running very slow, maybe because of the virus, and she has important information and she needs to act on it ASAP. So you can develop something like this in your content, which tells your customer that you care for them and you can provide a solution to their problem at the right time, at the right place. Number two, activation stage. Following the acquisition stage, a prospect moves to the activation stage. At this point, the prospect is now referred to as a user or a customer. We've learned this before in earlier chapters. Yes? All right. During this stage, the user goes through an onboarding process. This process can be a combination of automated product onboarding experience as well as a training managed by a customer success team. It is an entire end-to-end training for a customer as to what do they expect, how are their goals aligned, what all do they discuss in the pitch, and finally, how will they go about the execution. The former is critical for B2B companies, and the latter is more critical for higher-touch B2B companies. For transactional services like e-commerce or on-demand services, the activation stage is about making the first purchase. It starts with the user selecting a product they are interested in and adding it to their cart, and ends with the user providing a payment method and completing their first order. The activation stage is the most critical moment in user's customer journey. It's during this stage when people start to develop a strong opinion about the business. Companies often overlook this stage since it's a transitional stage and underestimate the customer's lack of familiarity with their products. While this should not be ignored or not given enough importance, because if you lose the customer over here, it might not go to the next step, which is the adoption step. Customer journey activation stage, let's take an example. Sally commits to fixing her slow laptop, which is something that she discovered earlier. She starts researching possible steps that she can take to fix her computer. During her research, she discovers that she could take her laptop to a local computer shop for a one-time fix, install an antivirus and security software for a one-time fix, or invest in advanced computing security software that protects her laptop for the long run. At this stage, it's essential to highlight how your products or services specifically solve a target audience's problem and communicate this effectively in your marketing messages. At this stage, you need to tell how is your product or service solving the problem, in this case, your target audience, which is Sally, was facing. For example, you could run a targeted social media ad campaign promoting your solution, promoting the benefits of your products, promoting the benefits of your service to elevate customers' pain points, because you need to alleviate their pain points so that they come back to you and become your customer for long. You can also create more custom content such as downloadable guides, how-to videos, ebooks, long-form articles, videos, tutorials, how-tos to showcase the actions consumers can take to solve their problem. Because end of the day, every business does one thing, which is solving customers' problems. And if you can do that the best through your content, nothing like the customer converting and staying with you for a long time. The third step is adoption stage. Once activated, customers move to the adoption stage. In this stage, users start to incorporate the product into their work or life habits. They start using the product. They start using your service. The longer they stick around, the less likely they are to churn. The longer they stick around, the less likely they are to churn. For B2B products, users will invite their colleagues to join and collaborate with them. And for B2C companies, users will start forming habits and building dependence on the product in their day-to-day lives. Good customer service during this stage is the key. You need the customer to be able to have a seamless experience with your product or your service. During the adoption stage, users will also become promoters. Yes, we learned this earlier as well. Most loyal customers become your promoters as well. They recommend a product to everybody around them and defend it as if it's their own. The scenario is more common for modern companies that follow the bottom-up customer acquisition approach, where the buyer is actual user of the product. At this stage, companies generally limit their communication with the customer to product updates, best practices, and new offerings. This is what you need to communicate to the customer. What are the communication you need to give to them? It is the product updates, new things you are getting in the product, best practices, and what are the new offerings that you might get in the near future. For SaaS businesses, companies will occasionally check in with the customer to get a sense of their satisfaction. They will sometimes send them reminders before their subscription renewal so that they're happy, satisfied, and renewing service with them. For transactional B2C businesses, companies will at this point or this stage have comprehensive profile for each of their users and their preferences. They will personalize their product offerings to maximize repeat purchases. Businesses must not only be aware of these three fundamental stages, but they should also design a coherent end-to-end journey experience for their users. The next best action is a customer-specific approach that envisages various actions that could be implemented for a specific customer and then chooses the best possible option to implement. And this is also referred to as the best next action, recommended action, or next best activity. The next best action routinely needs automated learning-based decision making. It utilizes machine learning to enable real-time decision making to improve sales conversations right at the point of purchase. Next best action is the use to target customers with relevant offers, a specified product, or service-based proposition, depending on their needs. Analytics for structured data and unstructured data. CRM analytics for structured data are well developed. Simple statistical procedures such as computation of totals, average, modes, medians, and ranges are the foundations of many of the descriptive standard reports generated by CRM users. As questions become more and more complex and shift from mere description to explanation or prediction, the analytical procedures required to generate answers also become more complex. Customer journey adoption stage example. Sally decided to invest in advanced computer security software to remove the virus from her laptop and keep it safe from future viruses in the long term. After researching several companies that provide the service, she finally settled on one business that met her needs and stood out from the rest and purchased their services. Unstructured data analysis is the process of using data analytical tools to automatically organize, structure, and get value out of unstructured data. What is unstructured data? Information that is not organized in a predefined manner, in a manner that you can understand and analyze what does that information mean. Most data that businesses deal with these days is unstructured. In fact, IDG research estimates that 85% of all data will be unstructured by 2025. There are huge insights to be gathered from this data, but they are hard to draw out. Unstructured text data goes beyond just numerical values and facts into thoughts, opinions, and emotions. It can be analyzed to provide quantitative and qualitative results, follow market trends, monitor brand reputation, and understand the voice of the customer, and more into understanding what is the customer actually thinking, what is the customer actually doing, both in quantitative and qualitative results. Unstructured data analytical tools use machine learning to gather and analyze data that has no predefined framework, like human language, natural language processing, NLP, allows software to understand and analyze text for deep insights, such as a human would. Unstructured data analysis can help your business answer more than just the what is happening question of numbers and stats and go into qualitative results to understand why is this happening. When you understand much more in depth about unstructured data, you will be able to understand why is exactly what happening in your business on a bigger and a better scale. How to analyze unstructured data? Below are some tips to analyze your unstructured data. Always start your analysis with end goal in mind. Collect unstructured data, clean the unstructured data, structure the unstructured data, perform unstructured data analytics, visualize your data analytics, and draw conclusions. Number one, start with your end goal in mind. Are you looking to follow trends in the market, or do you need a number of statistics to assess sales or growth? Do you need to evaluate open-ended surveys or automatically read and route customer support tickets? Do you want to do social listening to find out what customers are saying about your brand and compare it to your competition? What do you want to do? Pick up any of these goals or some other goals that you might have for your business. Start with a very solid idea of what is the end goal? What is it that you want to accomplish at the end of this entire structured data, unstructured data getting unstructured, at the end of unstructured data getting structured, and you getting value and meaning out of that. Text analytics, text analysis methods like keyword extraction, sentiment analysis, and topic classification allow you to pull opinions and ideas from text, then organize and analyze them more thoroughly for quantitative and qualitative results. So the possibilities are vast. Number two, after you've decided what you want to accomplish, after you've decided your end goal, what do? You collect your unstructured data. You need to find where your data is and get it to a place. Make sure to use different data sources that are relevant to your topic and the goals that you set, like customer surveys and online reviews, feedbacks on Facebook, feedbacks on social media platforms, Google Forms surveys, so on and so forth. Whatever technique you use, make sure no data is lost. Databases and data warehouses can provide access to structured data, but data lakes, repositories that store data in its raw format, offer better access to unstructured data and retain all the useful information that might be useful and very helpful to you to go to the next step, which is cleaning the unstructured data. Unstructured text data often comes with repetitive text, irrelevant text, and symbols like email signatures, URL links, emojis, banner ads, so on and so forth. This information is of no use and unnecessary to your analysis and will only skew the results. So it's important you learn how to clean your data and remove all of these things which are not really required for your analysis. Instead, clean the data and learn how to go to the more and more structured approach of the unstructured data. You can now start with some simple word processing tasks. You can start with some simple word processing tasks like running spell check, removing repetition words, special characters, and URL links, or give a quick read to make sure words are used correctly. After that, you have to now structure your unstructured data. In that, what happens is your text analysis machine learning programs use natural language processing algorithms to break down unstructured text data. Data preparation techniques like tokenization, part of speech tagging, stemming, and lemmatization effectively transform unstructured data text into a format that can be understood by machines. This is then compared to similarly prepared data in search of patterns and deviations in order to make interpretations. All you're trying to do is find patterns in your data, repetitions in your data. With that, you can create a theory for your business or for your customer or for your sales cycle. Now is the time to analyze your unstructured data. Once the data is structured, you're ready for analysis. Depending on your end goals, you can calculate whatever metrics you need. SAS tools that allow you to pick and choose from many different extraction and classification techniques and use them in concert to get a view of the big picture or super minute details. This is where you try and understand as much of your data which was unstructured at step one, you structured it, and now you're analyzing it. Finally, step number six, visualize your analysis results. Creating charts, graphs, infographics to visualize your data can make analysis much more easier to comprehend and compare. Rather than just text and rather than just reading numbers, charts, graphs, infographics, videos will help others and you yourself to visualize your data and comprehend it in a simpler format. Number seven, draw conclusions from the results. You've analyzed, you've done everything. You finally have to draw conclusions from the results that you've obtained. When you can see all the results together, it's easy to make data-driven decisions. See how customer opinions change over time to follow brand sentiment and individual campaigns. Follow different aspects of your business in real time to find out where you excel and where you need some work. With machine learning text analysis, you can pull data from almost anywhere for real actionable insights. Big data analytics. Big data analytics is the use of advanced analytical techniques against very large, diverse data sets that include structured, semi-structured, and unstructured data from different sources and in different sizes, from terabytes to zettabytes. Big data is a term applied to data sets whose size or type is beyond the ability of traditional relational databases to capture, manage, and process the data with low latency. Big data has one or more of the following characteristics: high volume, high velocity, or high variety. AI, mobile and social and internet of things, which is IoT, are driving data complexity through new forms and sources of data. For example, big data comes from sensors, devices, video, audio, networks, log files, transactional applications, web, social media. Much of it is generated in real time and at a very large scale. Imagine you are in a mall. The amount of times you will get a data from every time a person enters the mall, from the sensor, who it was, understanding whether it was a male, female, or so on and so forth. And so on and so forth, our devices are throwing out data like there is no tomorrow. And it is a lot of data generated at very real, very wrong, very right times at a very, very large scale. Analysis of big data allows analysts, researchers, and business users to make better and faster decisions using data that was previously inaccessible or unusable for you. Businesses can use advanced analytical techniques such as text analytics, machine learning, predictive analytics, data mining, statistics, and natural language processing to gain new insights from previously untapped data sources, independently or together with existing enterprise data. Different types of big data analytics. There are four main types of big data analytics: diagnostic, descriptive, prescriptive, and predictive analytics. They use various tools for processes such as data mining, cleaning, integration, visualization, and many others to improve the process of analyzing data and ensuring the company benefits from the data they gather. Number one, diagnostic analytics. Diagnostic analytics is one of the most advanced types of big data analytics that you can use to investigate data and the content. Through this type of analytics, you will use the insight gained to answer the question, why did it happen? So by analyzing the data, you can comprehend the reasons for certain behaviors and events related to the company you work for, the customers, employees, products, and more. Let's say there has been a drastic change in a product sale, even though you have not made any marketing changes to it. You would diagnostic analysis to identify this anomaly and find the causal relationship for such a big change. Some tools and techniques used for such a task include searching for patterns in the data sets, filtering the data using probability theory, regression analysis, and much more. Descriptive analytics, part 2. Descriptive analytics is one of the most common forms of analytics that companies use to stay updated on current trends and the company's operational performances. It is one of the first steps of analyzing raw data by performing simple mathematical operations and producing statements about samples and measurements. After you identify trends and insight with the descriptive analytics, you will be able to use the other types of analytics to learn more about what causes those trends. Previously, you were able to understand why is this happening. Over here, you will be able to understand what is the cause behind these trends. You will need to use descriptive analytics when dealing with finance, productions, and sales. Some tasks that require this type of analytics include the production of financial reports, end metrics, surveys, social media initiatives, and other business-related assignments. Descriptive analytics offers many benefits. One such benefit is, however, that it helps companies make sense of its large amounts of raw data that they gather by focusing on the more critical areas. Descriptive analytics has changed the way companies do business. Nowadays, they use this type of analytics to understand their current business situation better in comparison to the past. It is a crucial step in data analytics, and without it, it would be impossible to anticipate any future trends or make data-driven decisions. Spotify and Netflix and e-commerce sites like Amazon and eBay all use descriptive analytics to identify trends. Descriptive measures help determine what's currently the most popular item or song, or for that matter, service that users are buying. Spotify, for example, uses descriptive analytics to learn which of the albums or artists subscribers are listening to. Meanwhile, Amazon uses descriptive analytics to compare customers' purchases, what kind of things that they're purchasing, what is the average amount of their carts, so on and so forth. In both of these cases of Spotify and Amazon, these insights inform the recommendation engines to recommend relevant artists, relevant music, or relevant items to buy on Amazon or relevant products. Netflix, meanwhile, takes this use of descriptive analytics even further. A highly data-driven company, Netflix uses descriptive analytics to see what genres and TV shows interest the subscribers. Netflix, meanwhile, takes this use of descriptive analytics even further. They take it a notch higher. A highly data-driven company, Netflix, uses descriptive analytics to see what genres and TV shows interest their subscribers the most. That's why you see those recommendations coming to you. Because you saw this movie, you are getting recommendations of these movies. These insights inform decision-making in areas from new content creation to marketing campaigns and even which production companies they should work with. Which production companies, movies, or web series have performed better? Which production companies have done a better job for them in the past? Which sort of content is working? Which sort of content should be created further? What sort of content or movie should be produced or promoted in their marketing campaigns so that they get more traffic on Netflix versus other OTT platforms? Prescriptive analytics. Prescriptive analytics takes the results from descriptive and predictive analysis and find solutions for optimizing business practices through various simulations and techniques. It uses the insight from data to suggest what the best step forward would be for the company. Google is one of the many companies that uses this type of analytics. They make use of it when designing their self-driving cars. These cars analyze data in real time and make decisions based on prescriptive analytics. As the name suggests, this type of data analytics is all about making predictions about future outcomes based on insight from data. In order to get the best results, it uses many sophisticated predictive tools and models such as machine learning and statistical modeling. Predictive analytics is one of the most widely used types of analytics today. The market size and shares are projected to reach $13.95 billion by 2025, growing at a 21% rate for 6 years. The main benefit of predictive analytics is the reliable and more accurate forecast of the future. Through the predictions made with this type of analytics, companies can find ways to save and earn money, manage shipping schedules, and stay on top of inventory requirements. Using predictive analytics in the marketing department can help organizations attract new customers and retain the old ones by analyzing the customer's data or the current trends. Companies can anticipate customers' future needs. Companies gather huge amounts of data every day from their customers, employees, collaborators, so on and so forth. But that data is worth nothing if you do not know how to extract information from it. The biggest companies in the world are using big data analytics and its types to grow their businesses. Why shouldn't you? Banks can leverage predictive analytics by implementing processes and procedures that inform them of potential risks and fraud. A straightforward example is that the bank will track the customer's spending habits together with the location. Therefore, when an unusual activity that stands out from the pattern we have for this customer appears in the systems, both the bank and the customer can be alerted. In this example is the best way to catch hold of frauds which have been rising in the last 3 to 4 years. Sudden debits off from your account, sudden impromptu credits in your accounts, both are not feasible and good for your bank or for you as well. This way, the bank can quickly check whether it is indeed the customer using their card to protect its customers promptly. Another way banks use predictive analytics to detect fraud is by analyzing all of the transactions to see if there is anything that stands out that would not be expected based on historical data. Large number of total transactions, large sums of transfers is not something that is a regular thing by a customer or a user account. That is where you can leverage predictive analysis by implementing processes and catching hold of frauds or any unusual activity in the accounts of the customer. While manufacturers can leverage predictive analytics by establishing predictive maintenance, data collected from the equipment and data about the equipment can predict when maintenance will be needed of the equipment. How smart is that? You don't need to keep checking the equipment and you can just take data and this predictive analytics to know when do you need maintenance next. This gives managers more time for better planning and allocating of resources, equipment, and workers' time. The more data we have, the more accurate the predictions will be. This data can predict when maintenance will be needed and warn us about potential unexpected breakdowns. Cross-selling works by understanding which additional products the customer is likely to buy basis the analysis. Upselling is adding more features to the current product or offering a higher level product for a bigger profit. In retail, this can consist of analyzing the customer's profile and shopping and browsing history, and based on this, predicting what else can we offer to the customer. This can be subtle, but the result can be a lot more sales, increase in sales, because you'll be able to sell customers similar products which he or she was more likely to buy based on the previous analysis. As previously mentioned, in retail, customer segmentation works the same way in insurance. One important reason why insurance companies need customer segmentation is to help them build stronger relationships with clients. Understanding your client can help you nurture the relationship properly. It helps businesses know what services to offer and when is the most suitable time to do so. Cross-selling in telecom often works in a way together with one service that they will offer others that they have as well. If a customer buys a mobile internet, they will often offer to sell a mobile phone as well. Even though both are existent, upselling is the most common way in telecom. A customer will almost always be offered a package with more features than the one they're already using because it is the same time more expensive. However, predictive analytics can help you tell exactly what kind of features we need to add to a given package so that the new higher price will be acceptable for the customer. And the best example of this is giving you three types of packages. One is the lower one is the higher one, and one is the medium one. This medium one is the one which every customer picks up, whether it is a mobile phone, a telecom company, or a Starbucks coffee cup size for that matter. This is a beautiful example of what analytics can do for you and a marketing technique as well. Thank you so much.